Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Our guest today on the morning show is Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley District Administrator. It seemed like we were just talking about all of the great things going on that year, going into the school year, and here we are wrapping up a school year. Lauren?
It is an amazing thing. The end of a school year is an incredible time. The kids are so excited, which is good and bad, because they don't want to focus on learning a lot. They want to focus on being outside a lot. So our teachers are crafty people, and they really try to keep those kids engaged for these final 2 weeks. In River Valley, our final day for students is next Thursday. So it's going to be an exciting time, the 23rd being the final day for students in River Valley. And so the next 9 days are going to be filled with activities over at the River Valley campus.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know you have your scholarship night coming up this week as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do. So I'm going to round out with just some great things that are happening over at our campus. We've got baseball tonight, but also tonight we have our high school band and choir concert. So we're trying to get baseball in a little early just so that the kids can get back to go to that band and choir concert. And we have an incredible group of seniors graduating this year, both in band and in choir. Just some incredible music talent that will graduate, so their final show will be tonight. Really exciting time, a little melancholy for some of them as well as they finish up their high school career, but many of them going on to college with a focus in music. So that'll be really interesting to hear about tonight. That's at River Valley High School tonight at 7 o'clock. So anybody's welcome. Then we cruise into Tuesday, where we've got golf, baseball, track, and softball all happening on Tuesday, which is following then Wednesday, which is a typical night that we don't have athletic events, is our scholarship night. And River Valley is an incredibly giving community. This reaches beyond our borders out into the state as well. But our scholarship night, which will be held out at the Wisconsin Riverside Resort, will be at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And that's a really exciting night for all kids, whether they're going on to the service or they're going on to a tech school or they're going on to college. There's lots of scholarships and giving that will be happening on Wednesday night. Followed off by Thursday, we get to go to golf conference. It's amazing that conference, sectionals, regionals, all of those things are going to start to come in. And then we have a middle school band and choir concert on Thursday night as well. Soccer plays that night as well, the girls' soccer team. And then Friday, we round out this week with a really cool event. It's called Little Hawks, where every kid, grades 1, 2, 3, and 4, from River Valley Elementary, as well as St. John's and St. Luke's, our two private institutions in our district, come together and have a track and field day on our big stadium on Friday in the beautiful sunshine. And so the kids will be just really active. They'll be getting all sorts of participation in and just really engaged in a final activity outside. It's kind of like a culminating FIAD event, if you will. So physical education as well as health will be a big focus of the Little Hawks thing on Friday night.
I'll bet that is well attended, because you put mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas in the stands to watch the little ones.
Absolutely. It will be well attended. And I just misspoke. It's not on Friday night. It's during the day on Friday. It goes from 1 until about 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the Little Hawks. And you're right. Parking will be hard to find. It'll be an amazing event. Some of the specialist things, that the most special that you will see, is they will even have like the winner's circle, if you will, where the kids get to stand on the podium for first, second, third, fourth, fifth places in a lot of the events. And the way that the parents line up to take pictures of their kids and the grandparents are there, it's pretty something. It's something to behold. So it's a really cool event for the little kids, and we're excited to host that Little Hawks event on Friday.
You know, and you think about how fast time goes. It won't be long. Some of those pictures will be on the graduation wall, you know, and then the graduation parties.
That's for sure. That following weekend, we actually have baccalaureate, which is a great tradition that many places still hold. And so we're excited to host baccalaureate at our high school at 7 p.m. on the 19th. And then next week is our final week at River Valley. So we go into regional strategy. track. We have soccer. We have semester finals. The last day for kids will be next Thursday. And then we'll have graduation the following Saturday. So on Saturday, the 25th at 11 a.m., we'll have our graduation over at River Valley High School. So those things round out the year for student activities and athletics and for academics at the River Valley campus. And it's just going to be an incredible time. So it's going to be busy, but it's going to be fun.
So you started the school year a little early, maybe one of the earliest in Southwest Wisconsin. Lauren, how did it work out this year for you?
It worked out really well. And again, the Department of Public Instruction has the flexibility to really have districts request to start before September 1st or beginning before September. So we made a request so that we could really try out whether or not that would help us with breaks for kids. It'd be good for the kids so that they could have breaks at the right times. And so we started in the 20s in August last year. So we're done in the 20s here in May. So we really did an August 24 to May 24, if you will. And I think it really worked out well with the kids. When I've talked to the students, especially at the high school, it allowed them to have those semester exams, which a lot of classes at the high school level are in a semester format. It allowed them to have those prior to going home for their holiday break. So they went home in December with those semester exams done. And that was really beneficial because then they came back in January with fresh eyes, fresh ideas, and they could jump into the next semester. DPI did not grant us a waiver this coming year, so we'll go back to a normal schedule. What that's going to do, it's going to really benefit our kids because and our parents, and I think a lot of our residents, because we're going to be having one of the longest summer breaks in River Valley that they've had in a long time. So they're going to go from the 24th of May all the way through to September 4th, I believe, is our first day next year. So they're going to get a solid 3 months of summer, which is going to be great for local businesses and kids, and they're going to really enjoy that. And I'm pretty sure some of our staff are going to really enjoy a break that long as well. So we're excited to have a great summer ahead of us, and we'll see what comes.
Have you heard any more if that's going to open up someday? Like maybe districts can have their choice, you know, on a more regular basis, Lauren?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of legislative conversation around that. And I sit on a legislative committee at the state level where they talk about some of that local control. And truly, whether you're Republican or Democratic or independent, the idea that schools making that decision for local control is something that's talked about quite a bit, Phil. So that flexibility that they gave us this year, I think, is another thing that some districts are really digging into and they really want to try. It is important that we recognize, though, that our local businesses rely on a lot of our high school workers for their staff. So we want to make sure that we're sensitive to the local needs around us. I think a lot of this changed back in the early 90s, I believe it was, when Tommy Thompson really wanted the state to have a set date after September 1st so that we could employ and have a lot of high school kids go up to the Dells. And I think that's transitioned a lot. A lot of the kids don't go up to the Dells anymore. They stay local. But I think it is important to have that as local control. And as I sit on that legislative committee, they do talk about that quite a bit, about trying to get that control focus back to the district.
And you have a lot of, as you mentioned, businesses in the area that are appreciative because they're looking for some summer help.
Too. Absolutely. Absolutely. When you think of House on the Rock or you think of some of our local waterway people that have canoe rentals or even at Wisconsin Riverside Resort, a lot of the stuff that we have in tourism relies on a lot of our high school kids to help employ and keep some of those activities moving and functioning well. So I think it is really important that we keep it local, but also that then the school board has to really listen to the community to make sure that we're getting what the community truly needs.
The last time you were here, it was fresh off the election. And I know the referendum had been, at that point, turned down. I guess from that standpoint, maybe we can talk a little bit about lessons learned from the referendum vote.
Absolutely. That's the best part about the democratic process, is it really allows the community to have that local control. We're transitioning right from that school start date local control into whether or not you can kind of bond for more monies for district facility needs. And so that democratic process is strong. And I appreciate everybody that voted in that election. I don't want anybody to think that we didn't listen to their feedback. That's really what an election is to take that feedback and that's the deciding vote. So with that, though, we have to continue the conversation. And so from that last referendum, which was April of 24, we have to dig back in and figure out what we need to do next. And so one of the things that we're doing is created a community survey. And a community survey is going to come out. And again, this is to give the River Valley School District Board of Education more information. It's to allow them to dig into other things. So within that last referendum, we focused on fiscal responsibility, ADA needs, as well as safety and security. And a lot of those needs, all of those needs haven't gone away, right? So we're going to have to dig back in and figure out what we should do and if there are pieces that people liked and pieces that people didn't like. So one of the things I'd like to do right now, Phil, if I could, is just kind of go through some of the ideas that we're hoping to seek in this survey. And then also I'll have this survey in the local newspaper as well as online on our website. And we'll also get the survey out in social media so that people can take it electronically, or they could reach out to me over at the district office and we'll mail them one out so that they can take it paper and pencil, just like they did in the old days. So we'll do that for them. But in general, we want to know where people reside. Again, River Valley's lucky. We have Arena, Lone Rock, Plain, and Spring Green, as well as the 12 municipalities around us. So we're going to really dig into that and make sure that we know where people are coming from and whether or not they voted on April 2nd. That'll be important because if they didn't vote, I still want to know their information and feedback on what we should do in our district. We had two questions. Then the question one for our district before was that $19.5 million worth of school facility improvement. We want to know if they liked that question or not. So it's a yes or no. But if they voted no for that 19.5 school facility improvement, I want to know why. I want them to be able to really quickly tell me, yep, it's too much money. It's going to raise my taxes. Or I don't agree with the ADA compliance. Or I don't agree with safety and security being a priority. Or that facility maintenance should be embedded within your budget annually. Or we don't need any more gymnasium space. Or I don't like the idea of every kid being on one campus. You should keep Plain open, for example. Maybe they didn't understand or like the design plan. So I'm giving them lots of ways for them to tell me what they liked or what they didn't like.
You did kind of a little bit of a straw poll, I know, when you were out with those community information sessions. What were the numbers like then as you look back on that? Did everybody that said they were going to vote, or how did that work?
It's always interesting because you can do that straw poll. And we did a survey about a year and a half ago, and I had 500 survey results that came back fairly quickly, and they were pretty balanced, and they gave us good information, and we built our referendum questions from that survey. At that time, we had people saying yes, yes, yes. And then at our election time, we kind of had some people saying no. And so obviously the no was more than the yes on our vote in April. So that's where we've got to dig back in and figure out exactly why. So with the straw polls are only as good as the amount of people that take it. And so I appreciate that. I felt a good read on where the communities were. Everybody's strapped for money. I get that. I'm trying again to be sensitive to the communities that are a part of River Valley, but I also have to get paid to bring up forward the best facilities possible for the kids' education. And so that's where I've got to find that great balance between what the communities will support and what the community's needs and beliefs are of the district. So
the first part certainly was the part about just operating and kind of making some upgrades and safety and that kind of thing. The second part was for the Performing Arts Center, which also went down.
It did. And that Performing Arts Center went down. And I think it gives us a great recognition that a lot of people said that we need to fundraise. We need to jump in and fundraise for part of that great facility if that's what we truly want. So within that, if they voted no for the Performing Arts Center, was it just about the tax dollars? Was it about the design plan? Was it that there was not enough fundraising done? So we're asking them about that. And then the final question that we're trying to ask them, by the way, the survey could take you about 2 minutes total, so that's a good thing. The final thing that we're going to ask folks out there is, what items should we replace, remodel, and renovate? What should we be doing differently? So we're going to ask them directly about what things we should dig into first so that we can prioritize within the district. There were many needs that we were trying to address in that referendum, and it seems as if it was too many needs. So we got to get backwards, and we've got to go back and listen to our communities and really ask them for their feedback. Recently had somebody reach out and say, well, are you going to listen to our feedback, or are you just going to go ahead with what you want to do anyways, Glassbrenner? And and again, it's kind of one of those things. Well, of course, we're going to take your feedback and we're going to do that. But I also have to listen to the large group of people that told me to go to referendum as well. I guess I would would say this was a community-built referenda. We had an advisory task force. This wasn't about what Lauren Glassbrenner or what the administrative team really wanted to bring forward. This was about a community group that brought this forward. So my task and my job is then to push this back out and say, okay, if that was too much, what's the next step? And I think it's just about always moving forward. I think of our state motto. I think about the statue on the top of our state capitol in Madison. And it speaks to that one word, forward. We have to move forward. And I think the River Valley student body, I think the staff, and I think the communities deserve another chance to take a look at this and tell me how to move forward. I focus on how to get that stuff moving forward, not what moves forward. So again, the board wants me to get this survey out there so that we can truly hear from our community on how we can get their feedback on let's move forward in the best way possible.
Some of the safety compliance things and some of the state required things, Lauren, obviously you're grandfathered in, but yep. Is there going to come a day when they would step in and say this needs to be done?
Yeah, we go through a lot of code surveying at all times, and there'll be people, and maybe this is stuff that people don't know, but we have to have inspections happening all the time at the district level. For example, we just had the bleacher inspector come around, and they look at every bleacher, whether outside or inside. Does it function? Does it have wheelchair accessibility? Does it have the right height? Are any of it, if it's built out of wood, is any of it splintered? Are there any spots where somebody could fall? Does it function well? Are the electronics there? So when you look at that, that's a bleacher inspection at the high school and the middle school. Well, both one of my sets of bleachers at the high school was put in 64, and another one at the middle school was put in 68. Those bleachers are old, but to replace bleachers is over $100,000, right? So you want to make sure that you're meeting those inspections, repairing if you can, but also at some point you get to a point of wanting to remodel it and renovate it to make it better. So inspections for those, inspections for bathrooms, inspections for elevators, inspections for classrooms and their technology, inspections for all of those things happen. And that's what feeds into whether or not we need to renovate, restructure, kind of, it's not about remodeling, it's about bringing forward things that meet the needs of kids today. And again, I could talk about this for a day and a half, but it's the idea that the buildings that were built anywhere before 1980, actually 1992, don't meet ADA compliance because the code for American Disabilities Act came out in 1992. So a lot of the bathroom size or a lot of the rooms where maybe there's stairways to get to them, by law, you're supposed to have an elevator for every stairwell then. Well, we don't have stairwells that go to the basements for our locker rooms. We don't have, in every choir room that you have to go up to. So there's some needs there. There's no one that I know of is going to come around and say, you can't use that room anymore until you get it to this state. You're grandfathered in, as you say, but it still pushes on that idea. Are there ways that we could renovate and utilize the space differently and make it better for anybody to use, make it just more accessible for everybody?
Where you go then, Lauren, from here, what is the timeline that you're looking at, or do you know yet?
We're kind of started talking about that timeline. I told all people when I was meeting with all the municipalities before, the needs are not going to go away. So the timeline would be I get this information back and I take it back to the River Valley School Board, and the school board will dig in again and they'll figure out what their timelines are. And again, River Valley operates on operational referendum. This is separate from that. This is a capital referenda. So we'll take a look at the timeline for that. The board has not set a timeline quite yet, Phil, but I think they want to, while it's fresh in everyone's mind, get the feedback from the folks so that we can figure out what we should plan for next.
Is there a deadline for the survey that you're putting out there?
I think I'm going to put the survey out. I hope to have it opened by this week, mm-hmm. and then I'll get it in the newspaper this week. And then from that, then we'll leave it open probably throughout the summer. So I'm going to say that it'll be there. I'll probably see an insurgence of stuff that people respond to right away, but I'll probably have it out there for the summer. And then I'll go to the board and ask when we want to shut it down, if you will. Really, it's about the number of people that take the survey. So statistically, we're going to want to get back a certain percentage. And if we can get back 500 survey responses, I think that's going to help us kind of know that we've got a good pool of data to take a look at. If only 10 people take the survey, it's not a good representation. So I want to make sure that we get quite a few surveys in and that we get a representation of all our district municipalities. That's why that first question, are you from municipalities around Arena, Lone Rock, Plain and Spring Green? I think it's only fair that we have representation from those four communities as well. So we'll dig in and see what we can get.
Do you talk with other administrators in other districts and kind of see what's going on there? Because I know a lot of them are facing the same things that River Valley is.
Yeah, right? For sure. I was recently at a conference up in Green Bay for the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators. And there were a lot of referenda throughout the state that didn't pass. And the next steps are what's on everybody's mind. And the things that we have to dig into are what's best for our communities, but what's also best for the kids. So we've gone through some of those things. I'll continue to go through some of those things and we'll dig in even more. Really, the next steps are applicable only to your community, because what's good for me might be different for what's good for Plymouth, which is different than Black River Falls, that's different than Cassville or Fenimore. So it really is about the community of River Valley and what's best for them.
You've made some improvements, I noticed, on the softball and baseball fields. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that is from your community support as well.
It is.
Isn't it?
A lot of the community support that we received had us redo the drain, I guess I would say, the drainage between softball and baseball. We were finding a lot of the softball field and baseball field were logged with water. And so if you've ever been to our sports complex behind the high school, we had to redo the drainage from basically back near the high school all the way out into a drainage path, if you will, of water that goes out toward a marshy area just to the west of our high school. So we needed to get that through there. We needed to make sure that that was done. A lot of the cement and pavement had cracked and busted up, so we had to redo that. Our bleachers there were not meeting compliance as well because they didn't have a back on them and they didn't have some of the needs for wheelchair accessibility, so we had to redo those things. So yeah, when you look at our baseball softball area, that started with drainage because we had to utilize what was better for the fields, but then it leans into, if you dig up one thing, it's going to require you to do a lot of renovation. So that's something that we did. And again, thank you to a lot of the families that supported that. We had a lot of gracious people donate to get a lot of that work done, and it allowed us to really do it the right way. So yeah, our baseball complex back there and our softball complex look really good. And that's, again, thank you to many of the people that help us, the athletic boosters, as well as the parents of those programs that really give us the best feedback possible and help us get to what we need.
Yeah, I know. Noticed the pavement, you know, a lot easier to walk for everybody involved. Yep. And also you moved the backstop back a little bit for baseball.
Yep. So the backstop we had heard for baseball was not, it was regulation okay, but it wasn't what the team wanted. And so that was removed and pulled back a little bit, and it's much better where it is now. So that was something that, it was just something that we had to fix, and we did it, and that's good. So those are good things that happen just to make sure that all of those facilities are ready and able to meet the requirements of those great activities for kids.
Indeed. Lauren Glassbrenner is our guest here on The Morning Show, District Administrator at River Valley, and we'll have more after these words. Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest for River Valley Schools, joining us here on WRCO Radio for our morning show. On Friday night, I was at the softball game, had a wonderful opportunity to have as a guest commentator your exchange student from Italy.
That's awesome. I didn't know that she was helping out. That's great.
Kira Morendi?
Yeah, that's great. She's a great kid, and that's another great offering that we have over at the high school, is that we've got this continual representation of kids that are coming from foreign exchange programming to our high school. And so we try to really honor those kids. She was a heck of a volleyball player
as
well.
Yes, she was.
So these are great things. And I think it gives just that global perspective to a local or a rural kind of educational focus. So I think that's incredible. That's great that she did that. Thanks for helping her.
Yeah, she was really happy with River Valley District. And I know those exchange students, when they apply, they have no idea whether they're going to land in a big metropolitan area or wherever they are. But I would think landing in River Valley gave her kind of the best of everywhere. World, really.
I think that's incredible. Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. You know, I'm a little biased, you know, and I believe that I've got the best job in the world, but I think River Valley is a really well-rounded district. It's got incredible arts programming. It's got incredible athletics and activities programming, but it's also got incredible academic programming. We do really well, and I think that's something to be proud of. So we're always highlighting things like that. We highlighted this last week during Teacher Appreciation Week, just some of the great people that we have on staff, and just really incredible people that have worked and given their life and dedication to River Valley. So kudos to all my teachers and staff out there that continue to provide the best education possible for all those kids.
During your monthly visits, Lauren, as well, you've been able to bring along some students. We had FFA students on. We had some music students on. We had some acting students on as well. So, and as you mentioned, some of them are going to graduate this
year. Yes, many of them are going to graduate, and it's going to be exciting to see what comes next for them. So we highlighted at our school board meetings, we've chosen to do a community spotlight, if you call it, and we're trying to find people in the community to highlight, to talk about their positive influence for the board, the staff, or the students. And I highlighted our high school student council, which was led by Leah Drockenberg. And Leah is an incredible leader as a senior at our River Valley High School, and she's going on to get a degree in sonography. She is an incredible, just an example of what you'd want your kid to be, but also what you'd want a student to be as they lead your high school. So we're going to miss kids like that. We wish them well. And again, this is a big time of year where grandparents are going to UW ceremonies to watch their kids go across that stage. And it's a really big day, that graduation day. So we want to really highlight that. And we're excited to have that happen again. That'll be on the 25th, this Saturday, at River Valley High School at 11 a.m.
So you have does your graduation times vary then from year to year? Or
nope, we've really held it on a Saturday now. It seems to work out best, and it really seems to work out best at 11 a.m. So people are done right after the lunch hour, and they often run to either senior parties or they go off to have family meals or whatever they do. And so it's a really good time to kind of get them in on that Saturday and celebrate with them and head them off into their next steps.
And it works well, I'm sure, Memorial Weekend, because an extra day, if you've got people traveling a long way,
It's been a process in River Valley to use that Memorial Day weekend to give a little extra time. So that's been something that we've always embraced, and that's what we'll do again this year. So yeah, we're excited for that.
And you mentioned some of the top students you've had in here. I'm guessing many will be getting some awards. Scholarship night coming up Wednesday night. What time does that start?
That starts at 6:30. I believe it might be 6:30 to 7 o'clock. Right in there is when it starts. People start getting to the seating around 6:30, and it's a really nice night for kids and families to celebrate the great accomplishments of kids, and to also then combine that with the generosity that comes from a lot of folks around us that have special scholarships out there, whether it's in honor of someone that's passed or it's in honor of a business that's in the area and they want to have kind of that local draw to bring that kid back. So we see a lot of businesses and a lot of people jump in from our community to sponsor a scholarship so that it really keeps that voice, that name in that kid's head as they go away to school and they return to us for the rest of their life.
I'm so impressed about how much is available now for students that wasn't some years ago.
Yes, it is incredible. It is incredible. And again, we don't want to just highlight kids that are going to a four-year institution. We want to highlight kids that are going to a two-year institution. Maybe they're going into an apprenticeship where they can become a plumber or an electrician. Maybe they're going to go off and just take over a family business. That's exciting too. So whether they're community ready, job ready, college ready, it's all part of what we do to try to make sure kids are ready for that next step.
And that being said, I wanted to ask you about your youth apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And how did that go this year?
It's been really good. Our youth apprenticeship has been really good, and that's something that we wanted to continue to inspire and continue to invest in. We've added a lot of equipment this year, and we'll continue to add equipment because of some grants that we've received. And that equipment is really getting kids ready for job placements that are local. We hear a lot from Cardinal Glass, and we hear a lot from Rockwell Automation, or whether it's for Ring Brothers Automation. That we want kids to stay in our local area. So we've got to make sure that what we give them in high school inspires them to go into some of these fields and that they know their next step could be right down the street. So we put in a lot of new equipment into one of our labs. It's called a Fab Lab and at our high school. And what that allows us to do is to give kids more hands-on experience with something like hydraulics or with pressure within a motor or specialized mechanical things that are really hands-on for the kids, and it allows them to really get into a course that we call mechatronics, where it takes mechanical stuff and electronics and it shoves them together. everybody knows that even technology, whether it's like the computer in your car that runs your dashboard or the computer that's on the line that runs Cardinal Glass, it's a combination of mechanical workings as well as electronic and computer workings. So it's kind of an infused way of looking at that tech ed world that we know a lot of kids should go into.
Students today, we always talk about the pressures and things that they have against them, but you look at all of these things and the positive things, and I'd like to be a mouse in the corner for some of these classes and learn this myself.
Yeah, there's some great things that are offered to kids now that are really exciting, and I think it's what the next steps in education have to look like. We need to make sure that we're being responsive to the needs of our local region, and so we can't just have everybody go off and get a four-year degree somewhere else. They need to stay local, and I think that's going to be the push for rural education, is to keep rural alive. And by doing that, we're going to have to meet the needs of the region around us. So I think those are great things for a school district to continue to focus on.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
In our area, our facility has been alarm-free, overhead pager-free, and restraint-free since 2014. We are 5-star rated by Medicare.gov, the highest rating a long-term care facility can achieve. If you want the very best for your loved ones, shouldn't you consider Schmidt Woodland Hills? We welcome your inquiries. Please call 647-8931 for more information.
WRCO 100.9.
News Time Today is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture & Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today, partly to mostly cloudy, a bit breezy, a wind between 10 and 15 out of the east-northeast could be happening later on today, and we'll reach around 66. It is 53 degrees.
Core & Main and A-Plus Furniture are now offering warranty on your furniture. If you have kids, pets, spills, stains, or damage, no problem. UltraCare will help protect your new furniture investment. We have multiple levels that can cover a single item or a full room of furniture. If you have food or drink stains, massage units and components, tear or rip, and more, don't worry, it's covered. Protect your investment. Stop in for more details at Core & Main and A-Plus Furniture & Mattress in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. State Senate Republicans will override several vetoes by Democratic Governor Tony Evers today. Those include a bill Evers vetoed that would have allowed for allocation of $125 million in funding for PFAS remediation. At the Capitol on Monday, State Senator Howard Markline said that it is an important issue for Republicans who are committed to getting this money out the door. Senate Republicans have a two-thirds majority needed to override the vetoes and will also act to release $15 million in grants for Chippewa Valley hospitals and several other bills Evers vetoed. It's unclear when or if the assembly will act. Republicans in that chamber are two votes short of what they need to override. Ballot drop boxes may be back in Wisconsin elections. The 4-3 liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court appears willing to overturn a ruling restricting their use. That decision was handed down in 2022 when conservative justices held a 4-3 majority on the court. That ruling allowed for the boxes to only be located in clerks' offices. Wisconsin Elections Commission approved their expanded use during the COVID pandemic in 2020. During oral arguments Monday, in a suit filed to challenge the original ruling, liberal justices seemed inclined to believe a mistake was made. They said state law is silent on specifics about drop boxes and dismissed claims that the boxes had led to fraud. Governor Tony Evers is once again suing the Wisconsin State Legislature. The governor is making the move over what he calls a refusal to release a critical investment aimed at improving K-12 student literacy. According to Evers, the move comes as Republican lawmakers on the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee are refusing to release nearly $200 million in already approved investments, including nearly $50 million to help improve K-12 student reading outcomes. Meanwhile,
Senate Republicans blame Evers for critical funding not being released. Republican legislators concluded legislative business for the 2024 calendar year in March, but the state Senate has scheduled a session today to override several of Evers' vetoes. Mike Gallagher has a new job with the Wisconsin venture capital firm. Green Bay-based Titletown Tech names Gallagher as a senior strategic advisor less than a month after his early departure from Congress, where he'd represented Wisconsin's 8th District since 2017. The Green Bay Packers and Microsoft launched Titletown Tech in 2019. Since then, the firm has raised $95 million to invest in early-stage startups with high growth potential. The Richland School Board made financial decisions at last night's board meeting to move forward with capital improvements. Kevin Mullen of Baird Public Finance presented a plan of finance to sell the bonds related to the upgrades approved through the referendum passed last month. Prior to the current market, only five periods in the past 33 years of reliable municipal market data have been periods that consisted of a market condition when the federal funds rate was higher than the cost of borrowing at the 20-year AAA municipal benchmark. Although interest rates on long-term borrowings are up over the past few years, there is the ability to earn at a rate subject to IRS restriction above the cost of borrowing. The goals of a financing plan are the debt referendum target of 1.10 to minimize the interest cost and interest rate risk and to maximize investment earnings. Mullen suggested getting a bond rating from Moody's. The district is currently rated A1 by Moody's. The goal is to maintain A1 or better. He suggested two phases. Phase one would be $15 million in general obligation promissory notes to begin investing funds early, maximizing the investment earnings, and to maximize pricing flexibility for market access. Phase two would be general obligation notes. This would be done by issuing the remaining referendum authority for borrowing planned in early 2025. This would provide flexibility with timing and debt payment levy targets. Dr. Sherry Johnson, Director of Curriculum and Assessment, reported that some staff were using Google Classroom while others used Schoolology. Parents and students stated it became an issue when one class used one learning management system while another was using another. After getting input, it was decided to have everyone use Schoolology as the only learning management system in the district. The first reading for a new policy of the naming of district facilities was held with a change to the original policy presented as members of the public were worried that Avitus Rip Field would essentially be renamed. The change included the phrase, any naming rights in effect as of January 1st of 2024 within the Richland School District shall be grandfathered in and subject to expiration on December 31st, 2056, unless terminated earlier or extended as per the terms outlined in the policy. The No Labels Party will not appear on Wisconsin ballots this fall. The No Labels movement has failed to find a candidate for president. The Wisconsin Elections Commission will meet today and take up a request by No Labels to be removed. That's even though the group turned in more than twice the number of valid signatures to get on the ballot. Gunderson-Boscobel Area Hospital and Clinics will host the Healthy Hustle, a 1 mile and 5K walk run this evening as a part of Healthcare Week. The stroller-friendly course will begin at the Gunderson-Boscobel Area Hospital Bluff Street Terrace. Registration begins at 5:30. The race kicks off at 6. There is no fee to be a part of that. There will also be health and wellness offerings and concessions available on the Bluff Street Terrace as well. And also auditions get underway for The Music Man. That's going on tonight. They'll be putting it on this summer in Richland Center. You're encouraged to audition for The Music Man tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Richland Center City Auditorium. No experience is needed to try out for the show.
Hey guys, I've devised a plan to find better home internet. Kids, you scout the web for the best deals. Honey, you monitor our projected data usage.
Or we could avoid that hassle and go with U.S. Cellular's home internet. There's no guesswork, and their internet's faster than ever.
U.S. Cellular new and improved home internet. Just $34.99 when bundled with a wireless plan.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
What are you paying for home internet? It's time to save and head to your nearest local U.S. Cellular store. See us in Richland Center, Spring Green, Reedsburg, and Viroqua.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 66, partly to mostly cloudy and a bit breezy. East to northeast winds at 10 to 15. For tonight, mostly clear and cool, a low of 42. Sunshine Wednesday and 71 degrees. 59 was the midnight reading. We're down from that. That's after a nice, comfortable high yesterday with a trace of precipitation during the afternoon. It was 72 on Monday. Right now, it is 53 degrees.
Don't let your logic problems affect your quality of life. Gunderson Bosquel's board-certified urologist, Dr. Katie Trandum, brings help and hope to Bosquel. Dr. Trandum specializes in conditions affecting the bladder, kidneys, prostate, and urinary tract in children and adults, and provides expert care close to home. To schedule a urology consult with Dr. Trandum, talk to your provider today. Gunderson Bosquel, bringing love plus medicine to you.
WRCO Sports is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll take a look at the busy high school schedule coming up.
Kubota has the industry-leading BX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. BX Tractor is a real tractor in a small package. It is diesel-powered, four-wheel drive, hydrostatic transmission, power steering, allowing a novice to operate it like a pro. It can have a loader, mower, backhoe, and three-point attachments. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota products at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
There's high school track action tonight. Conference meets at River Valley High School as they host the Southwest. The Scenic Bluffs meet is at Royal, and Ridge and Valley will compete at Kickapoo today. Last night, the SWAL conference meet was hosted by Fenimore. Fenimore won the team rankings for both the girls and boys teams last evening. Riverdale's Tim Bailey was a conference champion in the 100 and 200, and Dietrich Buchholz was a champion in the high jump as well. Riverdale had a conference champion 4x1 relay team. Noah Arrington, Dietrich Buchholz, Drayton Deglow, and Tim Bailey ran that for the Chieftains. Bosquel with a 4x2 relay team that was first. Tucker Schmidt-Cox, Gabe Davis, Cameron Hogan, and Cooper Leffler all running that for the Bulldogs last night. And a first place finish for Cameron Hogan in the pole vault, leading the Bulldogs. Nora Gilson first in the 800 run last night. Olivia Meese of Riverdale finished second. 1 and 2 in the conference there. It was Aaliyah Kleesner finishing first in the 16 and 3,200 runs for Bosquel. Gretchen Buchholz of Riverdale was a conference champion in the 100-meter hurdles in action last night held at Fenimore, the SWAL conference track meet. River Valley won a Southwest Conference baseball game over Richland Center 6-0. The game was a makeup from last week, and the Blackhawks avenged a 14-4 loss to Richland Center earlier in the season. On senior night, the Blackhawks were led by their two seniors. Logan Willis went 2 for 3 at the plate, and Daniel Yonke was the winning pitcher. He threw a great game as he struck out 13, walked 1, and gave up just 2 Hornet hits. Wes Bosworth and Jacob McDonald each had hits. McDonald pitched into the 4th inning and gave up 4 hits and walked 5. Thomas Hohner finished the game and struck out 1 while yielding 2 hits. Griffin Sprecher and Caden Plumley each scored twice for River Valley. Chase Gilbertson had an RBI and a walk. Jaden Gauger was 1 for 2 with a walk, and Keegan Heiser 1 for 1 for the Blackhawks. Lancaster 8-5 over Southwestern, and Cuba City beat Dodgeville 6-5 in baseball. Viroqua with an 11-1 win over Black River Falls. Aquinas beat Viroqua 10-0 as the teams played twice last night. New Lisbon 11-5 over Nisida as well. In softball action, it was Dodgeville getting the win 14-0 over Richland Center in 5 innings. Bosquel 5-0 over Southwestern. Fenimore took 2 from Darlington, 17-0 and 13-1. Prairie du Chien 13 and Platteville 3. Wazika Steuben 12-0 over Seneca. DeSoto 13-2 over North Crawford in softball. Baseball coming up tonight. Riverdale is home against Darlington, 4:30 first pitch time this evening in SWAL play. River Valley plays a doubleheader with Platteville tonight, and also Prairie du Chien plays at River Valley in softball. Baseball action for Richland Center. They're at Prairie du Chien tonight, while the Hornets softball team takes on Viroqua. The Hornets soccer team will be taking on River Valley at Richland Center High School. Ithaca with an ag game at DeSoto tonight. And Stoddard, that's baseball and softball in the Region Valley for the Bulldogs. And Weston will be home against Lafarge. A quality start isn't always a winning start. Even though Colin Ray met the requirements of allowing three or fewer runs in six or more innings, the Brewers still lost Monday's game 8-6. Milwaukee fell behind by five runs, then closed within 7-6 after scoring four times in the bottom of the eighth. Ray took the loss, the second in a row for his team. Jake Bowers hit his fourth home run. Joe Ross starts today's game between the two teams. Elsewhere, the Cubs lost to Atlanta 2-0, Philadelphia 5-4 over the Mets, Colorado 5, San Diego 4, the Dodgers 6-4 over San Francisco, Arizona 6, and Cincinnati 5, Washington and the White Sox postponed, Detroit 6-5 over Miami, St. Louis 10, and the Angels 5. The University of Wisconsin has announced the Badgers' September 4th game at Camp Randall against Alabama will have an 11 a.m. kickoff. For the first time in 18 years, Nick Saban won't be walking the Crimson Tide sidelines. Kalen Dober is going to be the new head coach. The date and times were announced on Monday. The game is the first of a home and home series between the two football programs. Alabama won six national titles under Saban's leadership. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur tells reporters A.J. Dillon could be more of a movable piece and not be restricted to just running the ball. Based on that, speculation centers on the powerful Dillon taking the place of Josiah DeGora as the offense's H-back. Dillon's ability to break tackles makes him a solid choice for the position. The additions of Josh Jacobs and rookie Marshawn Lloyd in the backfield may mean this is a way to keep the formerly number two option at running back as an active contributor on offense. That's a look at sport headlines on a Tuesday. I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly and 80% don't. Hi, this is...
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
Nurses Day is coming up. I think we want to focus on the nurses, too.
It's something that we highlighted actually last week. Again, last week was Teacher Appreciation Week, so a shout out to them. But it was National School Nurses Day. And again, sometimes we forget all the related services that a district has to continue to provide to a district bunch of kids. So we have two nurses and a nurse's assistant that help us with the 1,100 kids that come onto campus every day. And you think, oh, what would a school nurse have to take care of? Well, they administer medications based on what a family physician tells us to do, but they also do the following things. They provide emergency care. They train staff, not only the teaching staff, but our coaching staff in first aid, CPR. They have to assist with health and sex ed. They have to advocate for public health. Nothing like a COVID virus to push us all into what school nursing had to do, but they were very involved in that. They have to provide lessons on eye care, dental care, hearing care. They have to address home and community factors. But they also have to communicate with parents on also an hourly basis. If a kid is not feeling well, we want to have them be at school. But if they're not feeling well, they've got to go home. So somebody's got to help us maintain all of that communication. And that's what our school nurses do. So it's one of the related services that are out there that I think sometimes the folks in our communities forget that we are required to provide to our children on a daily basis as well. So a shout out to Brittany, to Jennifer, to Heather, the ladies that help keep River Valley healthy and moving and keeping it smooth in our transitions as we work daily to keep everybody healthy as well. But that does bring up the point of related services. And as we talk about school funding, I think it's really important that the local communities understand there are federal and state guidelines that require a district to provide some things that maybe back in the day we didn't provide. And I just wanted to give you an example of a few of those, Phil. One of them's occupational therapy, OT. Occupational therapy is assistive technology, whether it's for vocational needs or for academic needs, that are required by the state. We have to provide physical therapy. So if we have a student that comes in and maybe physically can't handle things quite well, whether it's based on an injury or it's based on how they are, we have to provide that PT as part of a state regulation. We have to provide speech and language therapy. And those things are with children that maybe have speaking, pronunciation, phonology, voice, or fluency needs. So those are required by the state. We have hearing for deaf and hard of hearing, as well as visual impairments that we have to provide. And then another one that we have to provide is English language learners, so that our ELL population continues to progress. These related services have federal guidelines that go with them that are required for every school district. And when I was back in high school in Fenimore, these were things that were kind of unseen. They've become much bigger parts of our school days. And so to my team that helps me with OT, PT, speech and language, hearing, ELL services, they're unsung heroes that work every day kind of behind the scenes to make sure that the great things that we do in our classrooms can be accessible to every child.
Some of those specialty positions back in the day as well were like maybe one day a week or something. Yep. As well, weren't they?
Yep, they were. But now a child's IEP, which is their individualized education plan, which is a federal mandate, which is kind of not only for special education kids, but also for some kids, it comes in the form of what they call a 504, which is a required federal notification to the district as well. That federal IEP or 504 directive is something that, as you said, used to be maybe once or twice a week, now could be for some students every day. And so those needs are great for kids that have specific learning needs. Those are federally mandated, and it's what the kid deserves. It's what the kid deserves to get to the accessibility of the content. And so we embrace that process. We want to make sure everybody understands that process. But sometimes I think folks out in our communities forget that these are requirements for us as well, and that we're working really hard to make sure that we are meeting those needs on a daily basis as well.
Summer months coming up. That's no unrest as far as your office and everything else.
No, my team will be there all summer. It's a great time in summer when you get to do a lot of professional development with teachers. That's something that we have to do. There's a lot of projects that you have to get going on. I was thinking the other day, I talked to one of my maintenance crew. We have a lot of things that in the summer you've got to do. For example, every piece of furniture in every classroom has to come out of that classroom. You've got to wash down every piece of furniture. You've got to make sure that it's disinfected. You want to go into that room, you got to get that floor all clean, and then you got to re-wax that floor. So you got to get that room spotless. Then all that furniture's got to go back into that room, and you've got to follow those codes. So all of that out and then in the hallway and then back in the cleaning process for that for all the rooms in a district takes time. And it's when you want to go in and say, oh, that was leaking, we got to fix that while we're doing these things on the side. So there's a lot of maintenance, there's a lot of painting, there's a lot of upkeep that we have to utilize our summer months to do. So yes, for the teachers and students, summer becomes kind of a calmer time, but for the rest of the staff, especially my maintenance staff, my cleaning staff, and some of the other staff that'll be there for summer school, it's a busy time and it's a fun time too. I think it's downtime for some, but it's also go time for others. So we're excited for the summer months.
You bet. And summer school, as you mentioned, that'll be coming up too.
Yep, it will be coming up. So there are kind of three different ways of doing summer school, and I like this for our district. For our high school, it's about credit deficiency. So if a kid has really struggled with a course and they want to get back at it, they can come back in the summer and continue to work on that course. So let's say I tried geometry, I still couldn't pass it. Semester, I have to fix it. I can come in and do that credit recovery. So that's really what high school summer school ends up being, is credit recovery. At the middle school, we don't want kids to get into that summer slide. When we talk about summer slide, it's about that idea where a kid maybe won't read for 3 months, or they won't work on some math skills for 3 months. And we don't want that to happen. So we've got a lot of virtual opportunities for kids out there so that they can still log on to a computer program and work on maybe some math fluency or even some reading fluency. But we also want to keep the kids engaged. So this summer at our River Valley Middle School, we're going to be offering a special program where we're going to have kids come in once a week and we're going to do a field trip together to keep that engagement going. And so Mr. Radke over at River Valley Middle School and I have talked about a way to get kids to come into the campus. We'll check on their academics for maybe half hour to an hour, and then we're going to really feed them and then have them engaged in a really fun activity so that the engagement with school is part of what they do on a weekly basis. So we're going to really focus on keeping kids engaged and trying to take away that summer slide. And that at the elementary school, we will have them come into our classrooms again because they can't be quite as independent. And we will kind of transition to the next grade. So summer school for first grade looks like, how do I get ready for second grade? And summer school for third grade looks like, how do I get ready for fourth grade? So it's a lot of boot camp, we call it, to get them ready for their next steps. So elementary boot camps, summer slide at the middle school, credit recovery at the high school. And so we'll have people busy and ready to get going with kids all summer long.
I know you do a good job of promoting reading during the school year too, and you just want that to continue.
Absolutely. We love literacy. I personally love literacy. I'm a big reader myself, whether it's a book on, I don't know, I was just reading last night about native plants that you should put in your garden to bring in pollinators, or whether it's about invasive species or whatever. I like to read a lot of stuff about nature, but kids like to stay engaged with literacy as well. So that's really what we want kids to do. And so we're trying to come up with some great opportunities to keep the kids engaged throughout the summer. I give a shout out for our local libraries too. If our kids are being bored, or if a parent says, you know, there's nothing for kids to do, look around, get them outside. We live in a beautiful spot of the state. And so get them to a state park, get them to a county park, get them to their local library, take them in. There will be library services offered in every community. So get your kids back engaged with some learning. And I think that just helps keep them ready for the next school year.
Indeed. Well, Lauren, we want to kind of wrap up too and maybe reiterate the survey that is coming up for district residents. That'll start fairly soon then.
Right? Yep. That community survey will hopefully become live this week. I'll make sure it's in the newspaper this week. And that's another thing that I think I'm really going to focus on. If folks feel that they haven't gotten this survey, I'm going to really need them to dig in and reach out to me, because I'm going to get it into the newspaper, but it's not something that we would send to everybody in the mail. So I'm going to get it into the newspaper to make sure that they could take the survey and maybe even cut out a large section of the newspaper and send in their comments. But within that, yes, that survey is going to be open, and the information gathered with this survey will provide a focus for the Board of Education in Valley with what projects we should jump into next. And all the answers, again, will remain anonymous, but the biggest parts are kind of, I want to know your age, I want to know where you live, and whether or not you voted, so that we can move ahead with what the next steps are.
I see. And that was one of the issues maybe with the previous referendum. Maybe some people felt like they didn't get the information.
That is correct. So I worked with a printer out of my general architectural firm, and the printer had a problem with making sure our P.O. boxes were addressed the right way. And so there were some folks that had P.O. boxes that felt that they didn't get the information in time. And that's something that I can apologize for, but it's also something that I was out of my control. Now, that's something that I have to own and that we have to move ahead with. So if people are asking about whether or not they're going to be sure to send it to everyone, absolutely. It'll be on our website. It'll be on social media. It'll be in the newspaper, and I'll mail them out to anybody that asks for one, but I can't go door to door and hand a survey to all the residents in the four communities. So I ask that they give some grace there and that we continue to provide the back and forth communication so that if they don't get what they need, that they reach out so that I can address it.
You wouldn't be looking at a referendum again later this year, right?
No, sir.
It'd be probably in 2025.
That's correct.
If you do.
Yep. So. And again, those are big conversations that the board will have and that we'll make sure that the community is a part of.
Okay, Lauren. Always good stuff. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Nee.
Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate being here.
Yeah. We've had a good school year, good conversations all year long.
I appreciate the help.
And we're going to put you in summer school. You're going to come back and join us in the summer, too.
Yeah, it'll be sun. It'll be sunny in summer, and I'll continue to try to find great things to talk about.
I know you will. Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator for the River Valley District, today's guest.
Hey guys, I've devised a plan to find better home internet. Kids, you scout the web for the best deals. Honey, you monitor our projected data usage.
Or we could avoid that hassle and go with U.S. Cellular's home internet. There's no guesswork, and their internet's faster than ever.
U.S. Cellular new and improved home internet. Just $34.99 when bundled with a wireless plan.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
What are you paying for home internet? It's time to save and head to your nearest local U.S. Cellular store. See us in Richland Center, Spring Green, Reedsburg, and Viroqua.
On this Memorial Day, we honor the courage and sacrifice of our fallen heroes who gave everything to defend our nation and its ideals. Their legacy will forever inspire us. This Memorial Day message is brought to you by Scott's Industries, Julie Karen State Farm Insurance, Hackle Construction, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, and Richland County Telephone.